Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the 5 at 5 with Grant and Danny.
Counting down in the city.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Presented by Wave Soda.
All right, let's do the 5 at 5 at 5 o'clock on Grant and Danny. Welcome back, and thank you for listening to the show. Wave Soda's great, super simple, just bubbly water with a splash of real juice. A little bit of caffeine, unsweetened, so none of the artificial sweeteners, just a clean finish, only 2 to 6 grams of sugar, 15 to 25 calories per can. Order now at wavesoda.com. Receive 15% off right now with our promo code G-A-N-D, that is G-A-N-D. Start the 5 at 5 with Marty Herney coming to Washington. We are awaiting official word. Day 3 of not Panda Watch, but Marty Watch. Was Herney when talking about picking quarterback Will Greer when he was in Carolina.
I think Cam understands this is about depth at the position. So it's not, you know, this is about having competition and bringing along young guys, grooming young guys, as we say. I think, you know, if you look at it, even the backup quarterbacks in this league, the best way to solidify the depth in the backup position is to draft guys and groom guys. And you know, Cam is our franchise quarterback, and Kyle and Taylor have been very good quarterbacks for us. But we had a chance to bring a guy in that we think can add to the competition and the depth, and that's what we did.
Crazy thing I looked up during the break, but Herney was talking about how important it is to kind of just add quarterbacks and draft them and stash them and groom them. Unless the draft history that I was able to find on Pro Football Reference is accurate, the Panthers did not draft a quarterback from 2011 when they took Cam Newton to 2019 when they took Will Greer. Now, you can say, well, they had Cam Newton, why would they? But even just a cheap backup in, like, the 5th, 6th round, something like that, never. Will Greer, by the way, pick 100, has played once and didn't look very good. But hadn't really been something that you can look into other than Cam Newton to see how do they evaluate quarterbacks. Before that, in Carolina, Jimmy Clausen in 2010.
The pickle.
And Tony Pike in that same draft class at pick 204. They hadn't taken a quarterback since 2005 before 2010.
It is interesting to see how teams do that, because there's some, and I couldn't pull it anecdotally, who will just say every couple of years you take that 4th, 5th, 6th round flyer on a guy that maybe turns into something. And I know the Patriots made a living doing that, and for a while Andy Reid's Eagles did that, right, where they turned the Detmers and the Feelys and the whomever else into draft picks potentially when these guys would come in and play well, and you know they could move on from them and get something out of it. But it doesn't sound like Marty Herney made a great practice of that when he was in Carolina.
Herney, not the only front office exec, as we've been telling you, coming to Washington. Reports are now that he'll be joined by Martin Mayhew. A lot's being made about his relationship with Matt Stafford. You know, he was running the front office with the Lions when they took Stafford. I don't think that's a factor in any way. Number one, this is up to the Lions. Do they want to trade Stafford or not? This is up to their new head coach, Dan Campbell. Does he think he fits their culture? Is Matt Stafford the kind of guy that's going to bite a kneecap when he falls down and gets back up? Or is he not? And so if they want to trade Stafford, they'll look around and they'll get the best package back. But Martin Mayhew being here is not going to mean that Washington moves to the front of the line. We also don't know what the relationship's like between those two guys. So I would say that's a non-factor as far as Stafford goes for me.
Same here. I mean, it's not quite hiring Scott Brooks in the hopes of getting Kevin Durant to come to town. It's not to that level. I don't think it can hurt, but I don't think it's a major asset that's a precursor for that.
Capitals news number two on our 5 at 5. Earlier today, the head coach of the Capitals, Peter Laviolette, gave reporters an idea on just how much time the four Russian players on the Caps who violated COVID protocols may miss.
Now the players are in quarantine, and at this point, I believe it's four games and then under review, and so we'll go from there. There'll probably be an announcement at some point, but I believe we're looking at that, and then we'll look at everything.
And as we talked to Samantha Pell earlier today on the Blitz, mm-hmm. she made mention of something that she reported today, which is that Ilya Samsonov has tested positive for the coronavirus. And so he was one of the four players maskless in that hotel room. And Ovechkin and Kuznetsov and Orlov are now in the protocol with Samsonov. Four games in a season when you're not playing 60 is no joke.
No, it is not. It's huge in 82 games. We buck and bristle when Tom Wilson hits somebody and gets suspended for, you know, whatever it is, a tenth of the season, a seventh of the season when he gets some of these longer ones. This is a massive deal. And the league is clearly sending a message. This is the rule, and you got to follow the rule no matter how miserable it is. It's a condition for employment, so they're going to have to abide by it. But it is a significant penalty, and it's especially crippling if all of these guys don't have it, if all these guys are okay. That makes it doubly frustrating, I'm sure.
Laviolette's best quote today was, "We knew the rules." And to your point, everybody's aware of what the league is saying. You don't have to agree. I think it's harsh that these guys that play not in masks and practice not in masks and shower next to each other not in masks and are constantly in situations in this bubble where they're being tested constantly, where they're not masked, that they're not allowed to go to each other's hotel rooms and sit there and talk not in masks. But if that is the rule and you violate the rule, you got to pay the piper. And so they're going to have to do that now, which is tough. But this is a hopefully an eye-opening experience for the Caps, and it'll be the last time they have an issue, because this could happen with other teams. And if it's one of those things where four or five of the teams in the division are going to miss a few key players for a few games, I guess you'd rather get it out of the way early. Supposedly Ovechkin and Orlov have the antibodies, according to Ovechkin's wife on Instagram, so possibly that's good news. I don't think it's a guarantee they're coming back after these four games, but as of right now, they get four games off, and then the league will talk with them again. How many points out of these eight possible in these four games do you think that they can get without those guys? Like, what would you be happy with? I feel like if they got four, I'd be thrilled. What about you?
Yeah, four thrilled, three, okay. You know, just kind of make that Alonzo Mourning gif. Yeah, four is ideal, I would say. Three would be nice. Three would be nice.
Speaking of three, let's be nice with number three as we continue on our 5 at 5 on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. We talked earlier in the show with Randy Mueller, who's a former executive of the year and a former NFL general manager, about Deshaun Watson. Over the weekend, it came up that Washington might be interested. And then on Tuesday, rumor came out from Jeremy Fowler that they're a team to keep an eye on Deshaun Watson, according to the ESPN reporter. So we asked Randy Mueller, would you give up three first-round picks and a player? Here's what he said.
It's a little steep. I think they still have enough areas where they ought to be able to draft a quarterback at some point. They ought to be able to get a functional one off the street, one of the two. Giving up what you're saying is really four top-line players, that's a little rich for me. And I like Deshaun Watson, and I would try to do something with him. But they can't just set all of their other needs aside either. They've got to find a way to build a complete team, and that team's not ready for that yet. I think they'll get their quarterback in time. I don't think I'd panic and way overpay. The other thing you're going to have to deal with is a salary cap hit a year out from now of over $40 million. So that's an issue as well.
Surprised?
No. I get that. That is the smart, cerebral, I've done this before, I'm not here to panic approach. Right? That's why you had that perspective. The adult in the room, the guy that has made those decisions, who's been on the clock with 30 seconds left and two people are arguing over a draft pick and he's made the call. You know, that's why you have those guys. Hand never shakes, as you always like to quote from Leo in The Departed. I'm not surprised by that take. And it's probably on a binary, the quote-unquote right take. he doesn't have the pain I have. So he's not going to be as emotional about this decision as I am. I'm doing whatever. I'll move heaven and earth. I'll do whatever I have to solve this position for the first time in my lifetime. A new football guy comes in. He goes, I'll solve it. I can do it. And a lot of guys have come, and a lot of guys have tried, and none of them have succeeded.
Look, I agree that if you can solve quarterback without doing those things, then you should do that. Like, if the alternative is that they just stay put at 19 and take a quarterback that either falls into their lap or overdraft the guy. Let's say Mac Jones is still there. I don't think he will be. But they take him at 19, and he is a franchise QB who makes Pro Bowls and is here for 14 years putting up 4,400 yards. Yeah, I'd rather do that. It's really hard to get the number 19 pick at quarterback right. It's really hard to find that quarterback that you can build the whole thing around, as Washington and Cleveland and Buffalo, and I can name 10 other teams, are evidence of over the years. So everyone just says, no, don't be desperate. This is a known commodity. You know what Deshaun Watson is. The risk is, what if he gets hurt? I can say that about any player, any time in the NFL. What if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt? Then the Packers stink, and they fire their coach, and that's what happened. Yes, he could get hurt, and then you're done. You're cooked. You're screwed. It's over. But what if he doesn't get hurt? Then you have the quarterback. You don't know, if you draft any of these guys, what that ends up becoming. You know Deshaun Watson is outstanding. We could argue over the old word elite or generational, or is he top five or top 10? Who cares? He's one of the better quarterbacks in the league, and in a time and in an era where you have to be able to win off schedule with both your arm and your legs, it seems like he can do that.
There's a moment in Braveheart when the rebellion has happened and they're sort of, they've won some battles, but still haven't made any significant progress. And the trap is laid for William Wallace. And all his advisors are going, it's a trap, are you blind? And he goes, we've got the tray. You know what happens if I do not go? And they're like, what? And he goes, nothing. That's the point. Nothing. You know what happens if they don't do this? Just more of this, more 7-9s, more a coach gets hired with ultimate authority. 3 years later, he gets fired. More middling, more nothing. Franchise quarterback, please. It's the only way to unlock this thing. It's the only way to be an 11-win franchise. You got a shot. If he gets hurt, of course you're screwed. Just ask Alex Smith. That deal was fine. I was good with it at the time. He got hurt. Awful. It sucks. Of course it looks terrible in retrospect, and I can't wait to get out of that contract.
What's your answer to this? And we got to be quick because we're moving along here in the 5 at 5. But this is one argument I have heard, and I think it's the best argument for the people that don't want to bring in Deshaun Watson. And to give credit where it's due, there's actually a caller today with Pete Medhurst in middays here on The Fan. So kudos to Pete, who's been doing a bang-up job. I thought this was interesting. But the caller said Deshaun Watson has had DeAndre Hopkins, you know, Will Fuller. He's had Terry McLaurin-level wide receiver talent. They've had running backs as good or comparable to what Washington has. And they've had J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney and a good secondary. You know, they've had great players through there, and they've been really good on defense. What has that gotten them? Now, they have won some divisions, but they haven't really made a whole lot of noise in the playoffs. And his point was, maybe paying Deshaun Watson that much money, like, what's to say it's going to be different here? Really good defense, really good wide receiver. It didn't mean anything in Houston. What do you say to that?
I say there's context. This organization has descended into madness at this point. They turned the keys over to Bill O'Brien, who I don't think was ever particularly good head coach. But for whatever reason, they trusted him with more power than possible. I'll take 11-5 and see what happens in the postseason. You build me that roster and give me Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio, I'll take my chances in the NFC East. That's number one. Number two, he's 26. His best football is ahead of him. Number three, while they had some of those great players, they absolutely did, by the way. Hopkins, J.J. Watt, tier one superstar as good as they can. There were some injuries, especially to J.J. Watt over the last couple years. But beyond that, they were woefully inadequate at a number of positions. Who's name their best tight end over the last 10 years. You have no idea who it is. Most of their second receivers have been also-rans. It's a lot more Kiki Kuti than you should. I know we know the headline names and they're great fantasy picks, but there's a lot more to team building here. And Washington, frankly, is on the right path, whereas Houston maybe wasn't, and they were getting by with Deshaun Watson making magic.
The only thing about that, though, is when you make what he makes, you're not going to have great second wide receivers. You're not going to have, you know, great tight ends and running backs and number one wideouts. I mean, you're going to have to elevate Kiki Kuti and Darren Fells and some of those guys, because you make a debilitating amount of money to kind of surround yourself with studs everywhere.
That's fair, too.
That's going to be part of the process for either the Texans or whoever trades for him. All right, number five, you're 5 at 5. Dan Campbell is a head coach in the NFL. The Oklahoma drill will soon be run again. It's time to go hat on a hat. And when you're around him, watch your kneecaps.
So this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right. And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right. That's going to be the mentality.
If what? You give that speech and you happen to be an X's and O's guru who can outsmart and outwit and outlast and outplay Survivor style, whoever's on the other sideline, then this can work. But if you're not bringing that intuitive, cerebral, McVay, kind of I know more than you do vibe, and it's just, I'm going to tell my guys to bite kneecaps, and we're going to run through that wall. That's not going to get you where you want to go.
Chargers' new head coach, Brandon Staley, said, quote, "The thing about analytics is they drive better decision-making." Says he would like to be at the forefront of that movement and adds that context and feel are crucial when applying data to decisions. That's from Chargers beat reporter Daniel Popper. That's one approach. The other is, if I see a ligament, I'm eating it. If I see a man's finger in my face, I'm going to bite it off, chew on it, spit it in his eye, and then when I get a penalty, I'll come back and punch his kneecap with my elbow. I'm going to reach for his larynx with my Wolverine claws. You see, I'm going to be underneath water and get adamantium glued to my skeleton, and I'll die on the table, come back to life, and be in a rage and have amnesia, and I'll meet with Professor X. Football, woo! I mean, what? That's ridiculous. What on earth is that dude talking about?
When they knock you down, you reach for their elbow. And if you can't get it, then you bite a finger. And if that isn't there, then you kick them in the stomach.
You ever hit your shin onto the table? God, it hurts. You ever just had little leg hairs plucked out one at a time? We're going to do that after the second knockdown, which is two punches. And then third is we're going to do the thing where we grab your nose and sort of yank it like your older brother used to. I mean, what is this Rube talking
you
about?
You grab their flexor carpi radials and you don't let go. You know where their biceps are? You know where their deltoids are? You know where their trapezius is? We're going to eat them all today. And we will not. You make them remember the night we bit their soleus. I'm just looking up body parts on Google
just
now.
Naming body parts?
Yeah. When I think about the Lions, I think about a team that's going to be the last team to eat an extensor hallucius brevius. That looks like it's in the foot.
Is that a foot?
I don't know.
About I'll eat feet. It. I've eaten feet before. You tell me something. You want to hire a man that doesn't want to eat feet? I ain't your guy. I'm here to eat some feet and elbow people in the solar plexus.
I'm here to eat a vastus medialis and to win a football game, and I'm all out of vastus medialis. What a guy. What a press conference. And my favorite part is that people are just happy.
Like they're finally,
like,
we got something.
We got our guy. We did it, Detroit. We got him. He's our guy.
Good Lord.
Thank God. Let's just thank God. Take a moment right now to thank God that Ron Rivera didn't do whatever that was in the opening press conference.
What if he wins, by the way? What if he's like 13-3 next year? They beat the Packers twice, go 5-1 in the division, and play in the NFC title game. Like, I mean, there aren't enough hats for me to consume with Tabasco. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that'll be tough. That'll be tough. I will certainly eat my hat. Put whatever you want on it.
Put whatever you want.
Oof, might take a while. And hopefully he's got some good people around him. But in the meantime, hat on a hat. Let's play ball. Football cowboy. Woo! Grant and Danny on the Fan. Steamrolling toward 6:30. Hanging out with you this evening next. Will Deshaun Watson even have any interest in Washington? What kind of a home would that be for a quarterback with other suitors? He's got final say. He's got the no-trade clause. That's next. Thank you, Heisty. Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan in D.C. and Richmond with you until 6:30 this evening. I've been talking about the fact that FanDuel is now available in Virginia, the FanDuel Sportsbook. So your boys got a couple of bets in for tonight. But how about this? FanDuel's essentially giving away some cash tonight, Danny, because I just saw this. So on my app, I was sifting around during the break, and they are letting you use what they call a booster on what they have as one of their props for tonight. So it's gone from plus 100 to minus 10,000. And it's LeBron James and Giannis scoring a combined 1 point this evening. So it's just free money, essentially, assuming those two guys are playing. So if they score 1 point, you can put in $50 and get $50.
Seems like a good bet.
They're gifting you $50. So they're doing a lot of giving cash away, probably assuming that eventually people are not good enough to keep that money. They're making the investment, I suppose, that eventually, if you keep betting on sports, you're not going to bet $1,000. But that is one of the options tonight. So I just put $50 down that LeBron and Giannis are going to score a combined 1 point tonight or more. And if they score that 1 point, my $50 turns into $100, and
I've
paid $50.
I think it's a smart bet. I'm just going out on a limb there and saying that's a pretty smart bet.
Speaking of FanDuel, you are pretty amped up that they have partnered with the Washington football team.
So check this out. This is some ESPN. David Perdom.
Did this just come out today?
Yeah, within the last hour. And I was trying to track it and figure this out. So this is all in real time. I'm digesting this. So bear with me here. The Washington football team has received a sports betting permit in Virginia and through the franchise partnership with FanDuel, launched a mobile sportsbook in the Commonwealth on Thursday. The Virginia Lottery issued the permit to Washington on Wednesday, making the football team the first NFL franchise to receive a sports betting license. Okay, so this is going to be really important for two reasons, so bear with me. Number one, financial details of Washington's partnership with FanDuel and how revenue from the Virginia sportsbook will be shared between the bookmaker and the team, not disclosed. Franchises are not allowed to directly participate in or provide sports betting. However, in states that grant teams market access, they can designate a sportsbook to utilize the license, a league spokesman told ESPN. So that's fancy words. What does that mean? Who's allowing sports betting? Virginia now? Yes. D.C. now? Yes. Maryland on the way within the next year. Washington right nestled in between the two with facilities in Virginia, stadium in Maryland, representing Washington, D.C., would certainly stand to benefit from that. So, and looking ahead, talking about the legislation, the way the Virginia legislation is written, there is preferential treatment to the team, which is one of the reasons why we're privileged to be the first sportsbook live in the state of Virginia. That's from Mike Ravensburger, chief marketing officer from FanDuel, said on Thursday. So exactly what this means for Washington is still not completely clear to
me. Washington meaning the football team.
Yes, sorry. I should have been more clear. Yes, right. This is easier if they were the Redskins. It's not. The Washington football team. I'm not sure exactly. I know that there's advertising at a minimum. Like when you go on the FanDuel app in Virginia, presumably if there's football, you may see Washington football team advertising or logos or something related therein, right? So, that at a basic level, of course, makes sense for a partnership. But in terms of this sports betting license element of things, that seems to be clearing the way to me as a novice and a rube here. Clearing the way for what the Nationals are going to do with the book in their ballpark, what Ted Leontis and company have done at Capital One Arena. It seems to be clearing the way for that, ultimately. Now, that's a Maryland-dependent thing, but this is on the Virginia side, so I'm curious to see what it's going to mean. But this is the big thing that I pulled out of here, Grant. This is part two. From Virginia Delegate Mark Sickles, who sponsored the sports betting legislation, he told the Richmond Times-Dispatch that no deal with Washington for a new stadium had been struck, and that the granting of the permit to the football team was a sign of good faith on our part. I thought that was very interesting in terms of building momentum for a stadium in Virginia. Because
yeah,
look at us, Virginia. We're the first ones to help you guys. Look, we're in partnership. We're in cahoots. Let's go.
So I was talking to Michael Phillips today of the Richmond Times-Dispatch about this one before we went on the air, and I was just calling some people to try to get more intel on, what exactly happened in the last 24 hours that made FanDuel eligible and available to be the first app usable in Virginia? Because within the last week, I guess, it became Virginia took that step forward to allowing sports betting online, not brick and mortar. There's no casinos or sports books that you can go to, obviously. But FanDuel's the only one right now that you can actually use to do that. In a few weeks from now, I'm sure there will be others. And his understanding was, through who he had talked to, and it sounds like the same thing that ESPN's reporting, mm-hmm. is that this was Virginia's way to basically give Washington's football team, Dan Snyder, Jason Wright, whoever else, a little sweetener. And they said, okay, how about this? You guys in FanDuel can open before everyone else. And so it's just one of those things maybe that can be done that makes Virginia more of a commodity, helps Virginia's cause as they're trying to land the Washington football team as a home. That's kind of the way I'm taking it.
I think that's a good take. Now, the thing I'm curious about is what this means. So there's one sentence in here. It says, well, Washington is the first NFL franchise to hold a sports betting permit. It is not expected to be the last. I don't know what that specifically entitles them, and I think we could probably use an expert to really fill this in.
Wouldn't that just mean the ability to have a sports book at the stadium?
That's my initial read, but that wouldn't work because the stadium's not in Virginia right now.
No, but
so I don't know how that helps
if it
Washington.
Was. A sports betting if permit was, means
yeah.
if you're in a Commonwealth of Virginia, Maryland, D.C. Mm-hmm. I'm asking. I'm not telling. I have no idea. But wouldn't that just mean if I have a sports betting permit, a la the Giants in Jersey, I can now have a sports book in the Meadowlands?
That's my first read, but then I'm wondering, well, what's the benefit there in the short term? Is it something as simple as, let's say I go to WashingtonFootballTeam.com and there's a link that says, would you like to bet on Washington or do you want to bet on football? Go to FanDuel. Boom. And now we're linked. If you're in Northern Virginia, your IP address registers that you're in Virginia, bet away, right? I wonder if it's as simple as that and then they get a cent from everything that's bet, or if it's something else that I'm not thinking of, because there's definitely reason for the football team to enter into this, because it's another, you know, avenue. It's another bit of advertising for FanDuel. Having an NFL team as a local partner obviously makes a lot of sense. So it makes sense for everybody. But I'm wondering specifically, before we get the in-house betting in the stadium or an app on your way to the game where you can bet, I'm wondering what the short-term benefits are. And it sounds like there are some. As to the specifics, I don't think we know yet.
Yeah, I don't know. That's above my pay grade. That's certainly not my strength. What I know is it seems to me like Virginia made a probably a smart business decision and said, all right, Washington football team and FanDuel, you guys are free to open up shop. And when Virginia is competing with Maryland and with D.C., that means something, I would think. Let's talk Virginia as a home for whatever stadium's coming down the pike for a second. Is there any location in Virginia that you've heard talked about other than out west in that Loudoun County area? You know, in Ashburn, Loudoun, somewhere out where all of that space is that's flat that just keeps getting built on.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty much it, right? Like Silver Line of the Metro that goes out there past Tyson's. That's when we hear Virginia as a home, that's the location, correct?
That's the primary. I've certainly heard others, you know,
like what?
Whether it's the Virginia side of, you know, kind of opposite where National Harbor is, you know, some, but again, further down the river a little bit. I've heard Nixon.
So where would
Bowl,
that be? That's Alexandria?
Technically Alexandria, I think. But again, not Alexandria proper. I'm not talking about building it on top of the old town during a ghost tour. I mean, like further down.
Well,
the
I'm just
line
trying to wonder
bit.
Where there's enough space to have a stadium there.
Yeah.
But okay, what else?
But you got to go a ways. And then not far from you, you know, Springfield, sort of interchange, Mixing Bowl, Lorton, kind of down in that general area.
I would be aroused for that, obviously, for a lot of reasons.
Convenience for old Grant Paulson.
Convenience is the key, right? But also, I would like to think it would do some wonders for the old mortgage, I guess the resale price of the home.
The mortgage.
However, Stephen A. Smith style. I'm just struggling. I've never gone up in a helicopter and looked down to look at space. It doesn't seem like there's just a whole lot of real estate around here that I'm missing. I mean, maybe this Lorton area is a little bit more wide open. I'll say that. Now that I'm out here, I see more grass and trees and woods, so it's possible. But I feel like Maryland, there's more guesswork because they've talked about National Harbor. They've talked about something else out around where FedEx Field is. Virginia seems to me like Loudoun County or bust. And you just named a couple locations, and maybe, you know, tip my cap to you, I didn't even know about those. That's possible. But I feel like it's out Silver Line of the Metro style.
Uh-huh.
RFK Stadium site, or probably like National Harbor-y Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three that I imagine as actual possibilities.
Those are the leaders. I mean, you've seen – I'm just pulling from – whether it's blogs or like anecdotal suggestions, comment section. I mean, I saw a couple, I think, articles not too long ago about, hey, would this make sense? And they floated the sort of generally Lorton, again, a little bit south of, you know, where 395 and 95.
Guy, what if I together. Moved to Lorton right before they announced that the stadium's coming?
Can you imagine?
You were asking someone earlier about, you know, that GIF You know the gif of, like, the baby in the diaper, like, dancing and real funny on a couch?
Oh,
I
mean,
I would just be – if I move here and then the stadium comes, like, 20 minutes from me, oh, I will be so, so pumped.
You'd be so thrilled.
I like going to the stadium. I want to go to games. And I'll drive if I have to drive into D.C. or Maryland. If they move the stadium to Richmond by the racetrack, I'll be there on Sundays in the fall. But if you put it right near my house, I'll like you a lot more. I'll tell you that.
That'd be fun for you. Is Landmark Mall still a thing, by the way, or is it pretty much donezo, right?
They use it for movies like Wonder Woman, pretty much.
What if they pummeled Landmark Mall? Somebody just tweeted us that as an idea. Just raise it to the ground and then build right there.
Do that tonight. I love that location. Why not? I don't know if there's enough there where they could actually have parking lots and, you know, they probably want to do some kind of like Wrigleyville-type bars and restaurants. I don't know if there's enough space or not. I don't know if it's flat enough. I don't know what I don't know, but I know that the last time I went to that mall a few years ago, there's no chance that there's anything in there still. Like, it was
just nothing left, right?
It was like an
one
everything Cinnabon. Must go.
Yeah. Right? There's like a kiosk to fix your watch.
There was like an Auntie Anne's Pretzels that was still there and like one fix your jewelry here place. And that was 4 years ago.
Like
and since then,
19.
I know that Gal Gadot spent a day there filming. That's about all I've ever heard about that place since.
Yeah, that's a great pull. That, by the way, that movie was so disappointing. But that was like the only cool part. Was like, oh, I recognize that. Oh, it's Landmark Mall.
Yeah. I didn't see it. I should have.
It's so underwhelming. Which, by the way, double hurts because the first one I thought was great.
I loved the first one.
Yeah, the first one was really good. This one was
surprised I haven't watched it. I've been really bad about watching movies since the pandemic, where I have to like go to a website and download it or go to Prime, and I'll watch a TV show or a documentary. I've been bad about that.
Which is, you're the movie guy because you love going to the movies. I think you love going to the movies more than you love movies, and I'm not ripping you. I think you are the experience over actually sucking back and being a cinephile.
How many terrible movies did I go see? Remember, I used to go midnight to watch terrible movies.
That's right.
It's about the popcorn, it's about the air conditioning, it's about the soda, it's about the dark environment and the comfortable chair. I miss it. Mm-hmm. I got to get to an Alamo draft house. Grant and Danny on the Fan, what would Deshaun Watson think about Washington? We asked that because he's got a no-trade clause. So if you got to say yes to a deal to a Miami or a Pittsburgh or an Indianapolis or a D.C., you know, how does this organization stack up? You're listening to the Fan. We're Grant and Danny, or if you're Bruce Allen, Grant and Dave. But fear not, he also didn't know the name of the quarterback of his team.
That's right.
He thought was Kurt and not Kirk. Gregory is on line two in Alexandria, and I think he's got some information on us on the Landmark Mall site and why it's not an option. Gregory, how are you?
Oh, good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, gentlemen. I'm good. I hope you are as well.
We're lovely. We're doing very well.
Unfortunately, just a couple of weeks ago, Alexandria Hospital announced that they would be moving to the Landmark Mall location as part of a pretty big development with the hospital and also mixed-use business and commercial.
So that's the Alexandria, the main hospital?
Yep, and I believe they said they're going to look to redevelop the existing site for residential once they move over in a couple of years.
All right, well, appreciate the call, so you can rule that one out. I think that's, if it's the same hospital I'm thinking of right off of, like, Seminary Road, that is where we've had both of the kids, and they've done awesome by us. So wherever they want to go, they've earned it, as far as I'm concerned.
They've earned their upgrade, yeah. As soon as I mentioned that, because I was like, hey, wait a minute, I think I'd seen that at some point that it was up for grabs. My buddy's a real estate guy, texted me immediately, and a bunch of people tweeted, is that funny, Danny, at Grand Age Pulse, going, no, you silly geese. They're building a hospital there.
So the hospital, probably more important to the area than
it
the
beats
football
the stadium.
Stadium
ooh,
that is going to
people.
Be used 8 to 10 times. Yeah, and I'll apologize on that. I do not keep up with the real estate goings-on of the greater area, I can tell you that.
Sites from memory.
What do you think Washington football team's operation looks like from the outside? Here's why I ask that. You know, we can do all these conversations, call topics, dialogues with fans that we want to all offseason about what would you trade for Deshaun Watson. If he didn't have a no-trade clause, that's cool. But he does. And so if they're going to trade him, he's going to sign off on it. And he could even make it hellacious for them if he wanted to, and he could probably handpick the team. Let's say he wants to be in Miami. He'll end up a Dolphin. If for whatever reason, and I'm just hypothetically spitballing here, that he loves Chicago, he wants to go eat at Giordano's every Tuesday night on his off night. If Deshaun Watson wants to be a Bear, he'll be a Bear. That's kind of the leverage that he's got. So there are certainly teams, I think, when you stack them up against the football team, where he's got a much better chance to win sooner. Indianapolis, where Phil Rivers just retired. No, Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger doesn't necessarily have that job nailed down next year. Now, I don't know what the cap situations are for those teams as far as whether or not they could take on his salary. But just from overall, you know, public opinion standpoint, you would think that those teams better places to work than coming to Washington. How do you think the football team stacks up against clubs like Miami or Carolina or Chicago if Watson is actually going to be serious about looking around and trying to force his hand?
I said this earlier. I, if I'm Washington, I can make a pretty attractive destination for Deshaun Watson. Now, here's the thing. He could go, is your owner still that same tyrant who's in court on multiple different fronts, who's sued fans, who's sued a newspaper, who's being, you know, who's suing and counter-suing his minority owners, and the whole thing is a disaster? Is he still the same guy? And you're like, yes. But we have a new football thing. Martin Mayhew. He could say, no, thank you. But in terms of just right now, the build, who's our core? Our core is Montez Sweat. It's Chase Young. It's Terry McLaurin. It's Brandon Scherff's going to get re-signed. We've got a pretty good amount of cap space. We're about to get more as soon as we move on from Alex Smith. We'll probably be fourth or maybe fifth in terms of available cap over the next couple of seasons. We're a year away from getting rid of Landon Collins. We can go and get you some tools and some weapons. We are a player or two away on offense.
Let's
you would
pose
help that,
question,
tremendously.
Though. And I don't want to cut you off, but we got to say bye to our Richmond audience here in a second. 800-636-1067. And if you continue that thought, we're going to get your thoughts on this. Stretch run of Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are with you until 6:30. Chris Miles comes by at that time, keeping you company deep into the evening with no play-by-play on the station tonight. Caps back in action tomorrow. They will be without Alex Ovechkin, Evgeny Kuznetsov, Dmitry Orlov, and Ilya Samsonov. Samsonov has tested positive for COVID, according to the Washington Post. Those other three guys were maskless near him while they were in a hotel room, and that means that all four are in the protocol and are expected to miss at least four games for the Capitals. Meanwhile, Danny, you got that going on with the Caps, and the Wizards have not played a game at all, their entire team. They've missed six straight games. They were supposed to be back in action against the Bucks. That is not happening. Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook, and other members of the organization going to the Players Association and the league to say, look, we're without four of our five starters and a bunch of our key players, and you want us to play Milwaukee? That's not competitive balance. Help us out a little bit here. And I guess the league heard their plight.
So typically, in this here sports radio market in town where we happen to be in Washington, D.C., we heap a lot of praise on the Nationals. They win a lot. We heap a lot of praise on the Capitals. They win a lot, right? And then there are a couple teams that get dumped on a little more often. Let me flip the script a little bit for you. When it comes to the COVID protocols, I'm not necessarily blaming anybody for failing or messing up, just saying what happened. We need to give some kudos to the Washington football team. The only time that they got themselves in any kind of, on the bad side of some testing was a selfish quarterback who got cut after week 16 and a guy that wasn't active and with the roster. They did an exemplary job. And Jason Wright mentioned that when he was on with us recently. And they deserve kudos for that. This shows you what could absolutely happen if you're not completely vigilant all the time. And again, you don't have an outbreak just yet, knock on wood, with the Capitals, but seems like you do with the Wizards. I mean, it is a mess for them. They basically are going to go a couple weeks without playing basketball, and we'll see if and when they do get back on the court.
How are they ever going to make those games up, by the way?
I don't know what they're going to do.
I mean, it just seems impossible to me. You're going to make up six games now? That seems like the chances of you playing the same number of games as everybody else becomes extremely difficult. We had a guest on earlier today, a Quentin Mayo on the Beltway Blitz, say that Scott Brooks has pointed out that they could maybe make up a couple in and around a little break that's built in between the two halves of the season, and maybe that's why they schedule it that way. Okay, that's a couple. Where are the other four coming from? At the end of the season, you could tack on one or two, but you think they're waiting on the playoffs for you to finish your games? I'm going to take the under on them playing all of their games this season.
Yeah, might stand to reason. You're right about that.
You mentioned Haskins being selfish. He's now got a new home. He is with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Posted an image of himself signing a contract in a beautiful blue suit at their team facility today. He has taken to social media, says he's going to wear number 3. That number apparently biblically has to do with kind of a reemergence and a renaissance. And so he is planning the next chapter of his career. And I mean this wholeheartedly. I hope it goes well. I have said this a few different times. I have always heard from everyone that's around Dwayne Haskins that he is a nice guy and a likable guy and a good person. I think he's immensely immature. I think that he probably was overdrafted, as we know now, and was not ready at all for what came in the NFL. Some of that is on himself. Maybe some of that is on some of the people around him not properly getting him ready for this process and maybe not listening to the right people. But hopefully he learns from this experience, and I think if he's hungry enough, his physical talent can take over and he can play better football and at least carve out a career as a backup or, you know, be in this league for an extended period of time. Because with his arm, being smart and likable, which apparently he is for the people that are around him, I mean, that should get you a chance to just be in buildings making millions of dollars for years and years and years.
I think two things are true, and I've maintained these two things from, you know, for over the last couple of years. I don't think he did everything he could. I don't think he did everything right. In fact, I think he did a lot wrong, and we know an awful lot about that. And the ending, the way it went, he didn't play very well and should be accountable for that. That is absolutely a thing that is on his ledger. The other thing is, I think he walked into a terrible situation. Among the worst situations a young quarterback could walk into, with a whole bunch of coaching staff that didn't want him, that inherited him or had him foisted on. And I don't think, even if he did everything right, it would have worked out tremendously well here. But both things, I think, are true. And he didn't do what he was supposed to do. And here's the lesson from that. Nothing about life is fair. Nothing about this league is fair. It's results-based, and everyone's going to cover their own butt to keep their employment. So my hope is this awful experience that he just endured, and again, a lot of it self-inflicted, turns into a, this could be taken away from me in a second. I'm hoping that I don't just, you know, fall back into the same patterns. I've got to renew my commitment. In fact, maybe build a new commitment and do more than I ever have. Not just for a couple weeks for show, not just a couple Instagram posts to show everybody that I've got abs now, but I'm talking about that grind that nobody else is watching. That's the important stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure he knows that, and he's just got to, I mean, he's got to recalibrate what matters to him, frankly. You just have to. We saw it with Robert Griffin. We've seen it with other guys. But how badly do you want to be in the league? How badly do you want to be great at football? And you cannot view this as you got slighted. You know, you can't view this right. as Ron Rivera's a jerk. You know, those guys in Washington don't know what they had. That's a really good way to not have the career you're capable of having. View this as, I screwed up. I didn't handle what I needed to. I need to do better. And then you've actually got a shot to make some of those adjustments. All right, in D.C. at quarterback. So I cut you off at the end of last hour because just a little curtain to pull back here. Mm-hmm. When we're on every single day, Richmond joins us and simulcasts our show on The Fan in Richmond for 3 hours, but they've got a certain time when they leave us. So we've got to get out at the end of the hour a couple times right at a given moment. Which is why the awkward end of last hour. But you were mid-sentence talking about why you actually think Washington can make a strong pitch to Deshaun Watson, who's got a no-trade clause, if he's sorting out options and he's making a maybe pile. You think there's a case to be made for the football team to be in that maybe pile for him?
They could be in the pile. Now, are there better destinations just in terms of pure football? Oh, absolutely. Of course there are.
Let's name those, by the way.
The Indianapolis Colts.
I was going to say, I'll start with the Colts.
That's my one seed. Great coach, team on the rise, young talent, cap space galore, moves can be made. We can gladly absorb your salary and ready-made in the division. Now, is Houston excited to do that? I don't know. Is Deshaun Watson excited to live in Indianapolis? That I don't know. But it's certainly, just from a pure football perspective, absolutely a better destination than, frankly, nearly any other team that might be in consideration.
Coming off of 11 wins and mm-hmm. a season where you felt like possibly if they could have gotten by Buffalo, you know, they could still be playing right now. All right, what about the Pittsburgh Steelers? For all the reasons that are obvious, you know, if Roethlisberger's out and you become the starter with that defense and Mike Tomlin and the continuity on that coaching staff, and that's a team every year that's either a contender in the playoffs or knocking on the door of winning a division. It makes perfect sense. However, they are 28th of 32 teams in salary cap space. They're projected right now at 26 over the cap. And you can, you know, those numbers sound a lot scarier than they are. You can finagle some things pretty quickly to get under. But I guess the point is, when you compare that to a team like the Patriots, which, according to SpotTrack right now, is projected to have $101 million in cap space, it's a big, big difference. So I don't know if Pittsburgh's a better spot than Washington just because of the cap scenario.
They're going to have to go through a bit of a reckoning. A lot of guys are going to have to leave. Because right now, as you said, they're projected to be tens of millions over before they make any finagling moves. It depends on which website you look at and, you know, the prognostications. That means you're going to lose a Juju Smith-Schuster, probably. You're going to lose a weapon or two. You're going to lose an offensive line.
Juju's a free agent as it is, too.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You're not going to re-sign that guy. You wouldn't think. Pittsburgh probably can't re-up. So that's not going to be the same team. This group that we just pencil in for double-digit wins at minimum. And again, they would have been a 12-win team if they had any kind of decency, a quarterback last year with how good their defense was. It may not be the ready-made contender. I'd still say, because of that tradition and how comfortable they are at developing talent and how good they are at it, probably a better destination than Washington because of the track record. But if you're just looking for your pure football perspective and team building for the next year or two, it may not be as ideal. It's still better than Washington because Tomlin and that culture that's established, but it's not as good to me as the Colts, for example.
I think Brian Flores has done such a good job in Miami that I would put the Dolphins coming off of double-digit wins, didn't make the playoffs, but very easily could have. Frankly, if they had a better quarterback, they would have made the playoffs. Really good on defense, exceptional at times on special teams this year. Just a ton, it seemed like, of non-offensive touchdowns throughout the year. They've got $26 million in cap space. They're top eight in terms of the amount of money they'll have to spend this offseason, not to mention all of the draft picks that they've acquired while completely fleecing Bill O'Brien and the Texans a couple times over. So now it'd be funny if they made another deal with Houston at this point. But I think Miami over Washington's a pretty easy one, right?
Agreed there, too.
Also, Washington's a great place to live in a really, really cool area in town. Selfishly, I can say that. I don't know what
Miami.
You know, the perception for like a guy like Watson, I don't know how many times he's been here, if he cares about the history of D.C. or whatever. But Miami's a pretty sweet spot to call home for a young dude in his mid-20s.
It 100% is, and that's the best destination. Just in terms of team on the rise, young head coach, no state income tax, I got a young core.
Oh, that, by the way. That's a big deal.
Yeah, there's that. Now, here's the rub. What do those three teams you just named have in common?
AFC.
Those three teams you just named, AFC teams. This might be, and one of the callers brought this point up, and I think this is the way that I would sell this. I'd go, where Pat Mahomes going? Where's Josh Allen going to go? These guys are in their early 20s. Look at the NFC quarterbacks. Who's left? 38-year-old Aaron Rodgers, 43-year-old Tom Brady, whoever the hell takes over in New Orleans. You know, you're going to be the class of this conference just the instant you set foot on campus. The first time you're here, you're now one of the two or three best quarterbacks in the NFC. You're already a top 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever number in football. Your path to host home playoff games, your path to be in conference title games here is way easier than getting out of the Colts' way, getting out of the Titans' way with Derrick Henry and company. They're a pretty good program as well. In the AFC, you got to deal in the AFC East, you got to deal with Allen and company. You know, the Patriots are going to reload. Get out of this conference. Go to the NFC. You're going to be a star here, and we can't wait to have you. That would be a huge selling point for me.
Maybe 2 years left of Aaron Rodgers, 3 years, something like that. I'm not saying he can't play beyond that, but after they drafted a quarterback, I'd say it's a pretty safe bet he's not staying in Green Bay, so there's a chance at that point that he would go to the other conference anyway. But let's say a couple of years. I mean, otherwise, it's Russell Wilson in this conference who's the entrenched staple as the star quarterback. You look at the other teams. Washington doesn't have their guy of the future. Daniel Jones is probably the quarterback of the future for the Giants, but you're certainly not worried about him becoming a guy that, you know, is this insurmountable object that can't be moved in the playoffs. Possibly Dak Prescott with the Cowboys, but he was more jag than he was star before two seasons ago, and now he's coming off of an injury. Maybe Carson Wentz is really good. He was horrendous last year. The Rams have paid Jared Goff, but he's mediocre. Kyler Murray, I guess, could join that crop. First half of this year,
yeah, he's on the way.
He was on his way to like the MVP conversation. But people just stopped talking about him and acted like the season ended for him. He was terrible at times in the second half and just was okay down the stretch. Having said that, he's still near the top of the pecking order as a former 1-1 who plays in this conference. Bears don't have a guy. Cousins is good, but you know he's already 30, kind of Russell Wilson's age. And again, same thing. He's not elite. You're not worried about Kirk Cousins being in your conference. Stafford, same deal. Good quarterback, like Cousins. But you know it's not what you're talking about in the other conference. Where you've
get
got
me
to,
and get me to that
Mahomes.
Division. How I mean, Philadelphia is a mess right now. Dallas fell apart, and they've got their own salary cap hell they'll be navigating incredibly soon, right? I mean, your path to winning divisions and hosting playoff games is right here. Basically, you beat Russell Wilson, you get yourself to the Super Bowl. I mean, that would be the selling point that I would offer to try to convince Deshaun Watson. And here's the other part of this that is intriguing to me, GP, and I want to see what you think about it, is because of that no-trade clause, the bidding might not be as exorbitant in terms of an asking price, right? Because if like, for the sake of argument, let's say the Jets, even though they might be able to, you know, they're picking two, they could get Justin Fields or whomever else they want. Let's say the Jets are like, come on up to New York. I don't know why they have a New York accent, but come on up here. Come to be a Jet, bro. You're going to win so much, bro. And Deshaun Watson's like, no, I'm not doing that. So it doesn't matter what they offer now. There are fewer teams that he might say yes to that might make the bidding a bit more reasonable, I wonder.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And they should have a New York accent, by the way. That's exactly how I imagine the Jets sounding if the Jets have a voice. Let's go to JaVale in Culpeper, who wants to be a part of this convo. We love JaVale. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing tonight?
Good, buddy. How's it going?
Good, man. Congratulations on the new time slot, man. I really enjoy that on the evening drive, man.
Appreciate
Thank you,
buddy.
Very much. Appreciate you.
Hey, Danny, this is more for you, because when you have an opinion, you go hard in the paint, and you don't venture off that opinion, and I respect that. But when it comes to Watson, there's no way we can give up any and everything for him. And I understand that the quarterback position is the most important position in football and maybe all of sports. However, what we have been waiting for is a true rebuild and a true coach to come in. And you know, this culture thing is always put up, but you know, now we have Rivera. Now he's bringing in Marty that we assume, you know, he's bringing in Mayhew. If we were to have to give up three first round picks to a player, I think that would set us back. I mean, we were competitive this year with quarterbacks who, you know, were undrafted. And Alex Smith, with all of his injuries and surgeries he has had, I just feel that the way we're going, if we were to give up all of that, I think it would be a step in the wrong direction. And what people are failing to realize, Rivera is bringing in his guys. Rivera, Turner, now Herney. All these guys are together in Carolina, and people continue to overlook Kyle Allen. They like Kyle Allen. He may be undrafted, you know, and so forth, and I think that's the knock on him. But if you look at Allen, what he did when he started the majority of the season when Cam got hurt, yes, he had like 18 interceptions, however, but they had the most injuries on the offensive line that year. And before they got injuries, those first five or six games, he was playing dynamite if you go look at his numbers, you know, at the quarterback position. And if we can keep him under, you know, this mass contract that you're going to need for a quarterback, we can fill so many other positions that we need. So I think going into next season, if they don't have somebody that they love at 19, Kyle Allen is probably going to be the starting quarterback next year, and we build around that.
So, JaVale, I agree with a lot of what you're saying about what they could do if they don't take a QB at 19 or if they don't go get their guy as an example. I actually think Kyle Allen is serviceable. You know, I was kind of a fan of his. I liked him more than a lot of people did when they went to him initially, because I think he can operate this offense. He'll make mistakes, but he's going to move the football a little bit, what have you. What I would say to that, though, is we'll see it again this weekend. You got Patrick Mahomes, who was a first-round pick, who's won an MVP award. You got a couple of guys who are some of the greatest of all time in Aaron Rodgers and in Tom Brady. You've got Josh Allen, who is a top 10 pick, who it looks like he's going to win MVP awards. And for those reasons, you can do that most years, Danny. You don't see a lot of Kyle Allens playing in this weekend. It doesn't mean it's impossible. It's hard to win, okay, period, but it's harder to win that way.
Okay, Grant, and I respect that. But think about this. Everybody passed on Aaron Rodgers because they didn't believe in Aaron Rodgers, okay? Everybody passed on Tom Brady because they didn't believe in Tom Brady. You know, so my point being is maybe they're comfortable. Because when I see Kyle Allen, I see Kirk Cousins just a little more mobile. Like, that's the comp I have. He's Kirk Cousins, but he's a little more mobile. You know, and we wouldn't be going through this if the last regime had a paid Kirk. You know, we would still have Kirk for another year. You know, and that's my point. You know, if we can add another receiver, you know, if we can go grab my man from Chicago, or, you know, if we can maybe, if Antonio Brown, because since he's been back, he's been on his P's and Q's. You know, if we can grab Antonio Brown, you know, if we can get us a linebacker or true free safety and release Landon Collins and free up some money. I mean, I just feel that what we did this year, even though the division was down, the defense is still what's going to win us games in the future.
That's where their bread's buttered, for sure.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you for the
call.
Thanks,
bud. Great call. Always good. Really appreciate you chiming in. So a number of things on that. You're right. Those are the paths to improvement if you don't land a franchise guy. You're going to try to make do with a Jag and coach around it and, you know, try to win with defense and hand the ball off, etc. This league has gone to a different place, I would argue. I mean, the top four passing offenses in terms of efficiency as measured by DVOA are playing in the championship. That's who's going. The top four offenses, usually it's four out of the five or six, are the ones that end up in the final four in the conference title games, etc. I mean, that's where they go. This is what this is. I understand having a good defense helps you. You've got to make plays on the offensive side at this point. And to me, I understand your point about not wanting to overbid and overpay a quarterback. I get that. I fully
do. It's reasonable.
It is reasonable. I don't think this happens very often. I'm not overpaying for Alex Smith, right? I'm overpaying for a guy that I think should be a Hall of Famer. That's the difference. Maybe if your evaluation of Deshaun Watson is lower than mine, that's a reasonable debate. I think he's going to be on a Hall of Fame track. I think we even underrate how good that guy is.
I think in the league, it's well known, maybe outside of analytical circles, like your non-pro football focus and some of these sites and people that go deep into some of the peripherals, maybe he gets overlooked a little bit. There's probably something to that. By the way, we could talk about this tomorrow, but Alex Smith came out in defense of Eric Bieniemy today. He was on a podcast with Charles Robinson and Therese Paylor with Yahoo Sports. He said he thinks it's ridiculous that Eric Bieniemy has not been hired yet. 11 coaches have now been hired in the last year. Bieniemy, not one of them. If he does not get the Texans job, and he's not expected to, that'll be 12 coaches in a year. And in both of those two hiring cycles, supposedly he was the hot candidate. Now, there's clearly a disconnect between the media putting him over as the can't-miss guy and what the teams are thinking. But regardless of how we got here, the optics for the league of this hot shot offensive coordinator, yes, it's Andy Reid's offense, but he's doing something, clearly, who was with the Kansas City Chiefs, who's an African-American assistant who wants to be a head coach and is part of a juggernaut offense, can't get a job. And you're going to have another cycle this year, it looks like, where minorities are going to not get nearly as many jobs as everybody watching this process play out would like. I don't have the answer, though, because teams shouldn't just be mandated to have to hire someone. Like, if you do an interview with seven people and you're smitten with Robert Saleh or you really, really liked Matt Eberflus, it's your team. You should be able to hire them if you're an owner and a GM. So I don't know what the fix is, but I know that it's not a good look, and I do feel for Bieniemy, who's getting ready to coach in a third straight AFC championship game.
Yeah,
ho-hum, Andy Reid.
Right? And his offense is incredible. I know it's Andy Reid's offense for the most part, but I know Bieniemy has certainly a hand in it. So you're right. It is,
I would leave, by the way.
Would you?
Yeah.
I think I would too.
Right? How could you not? You go somewhere else because they're telling you this is about Andy. You know, you don't run the offense. You don't call the plays. I'm going somewhere as far away as I can go for a year or two, and I'm calling my own plays, and I'm showing you. Now what? When I'm the number three offense in the league, now what are you going to say? I think if he went somewhere else and had a big season, he's hired immediately thereafter.
And it may be because he's not playing deep into January, you know, is the other part of it. It's harder to interview via Zoom or remote or whatever when you're preparing for the AFC title game for the third straight year. Get ready to go to Super Bowl again. Maybe if you're just a regular 8-8 team and but your offense was pretty sweet, you have time to interview with all the other teams that are out of it, you know, and golfing.
Well, we could go golfing now because our work is done for the day. But it's going to be a little chilly and dark, so hopefully the course is lit. Big thanks to Mr. Plyman and Mr. Mullins behind the scenes for their work as always. Remember, Chris Miles is with you tonight right here on 106.7 The Fan. For Danny, I'm Grant saying so long and thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.